Welcome to the MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church Tensions Podcast with Pastor Ricky Primrose, designed to help you navigate current issues as kingdom citizens. In each episode, Pastor Ricky will tackle a current topic or an event that creates tension within Christians who live in a world that is not our home. Written articles for each episode are available on our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org/tensions.
Well, hello, MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church. Welcome to the March 2022 edition of the Tensions Podcast. And we have entitled this edition of Tensions, Same-Sex Attraction, a topic we should not and cannot ignore. You know, same-sex attraction is a topic that churches rarely discuss, but one that we absolutely must begin paying attention to and talking about as believers. Our silence on this issue, frankly, is often due to a lack of understanding or perhaps a fear of saying something wrong or dumb or simply not thinking it's a relevant issue needing our attention. But the reality is that same-sex attraction is a relevant issue. There are brothers and sisters in Christ in many churches who experience same-sex attraction, not to mention people in your own family who may struggle with this experience. And guys, listen, nobody wins when we refuse to address this topic. And I assure you that our gospel is strong enough to withstand the weight of this issue. And so in this edition of Tensions, I want to address three specific questions related to the topic of same-sex attraction. The first, you'll see, is more theological in nature, and the latter two are more pastoral. The first question is this. Simply, is experiencing same-sex attraction a sin? Now, the short answer to the question is no. However, okay, in an effort to be a little bit more nuanced than that, I want to just consider a few biblical observations. First, the Bible teaches that homosexual acts are sinful, okay? Homosexual actions or indulging or acting upon same-sex attraction are this is explicitly addressed in Scripture, and homosexual actions are always presented biblically as a distortion of God's will and design for human sexuality. Consider two quick examples. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says, "For this reason, God delivered them over to disgraceful passions. Their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The men, the same way, also left natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of their error." Likewise, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 says, "Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom." Okay, so to be sure, the Bible has much more to say about God's intent and design for sexuality than what is presented merely in these two passages. Nevertheless, God's word is clear that homosexual acts are always sinful. Now, a second biblical observation that we can make, however, is that the Bible teaches that the fall of humanity affected all of creation, including human passions and desires. Okay, so when sin entered into the world in Genesis 3, it not only affected our relationship with God, but with all of creation, all right? So, for example, cancer did not exist before the fall. Neither did clinical depression or hurricanes, for that matter. Paul said in Romans 8:20 that creation was subjected to futility as a result of sin. Okay, sin had an effect on the entire created order, which includes our passions and desires. So, why do some people struggle more with anxiety or depression than others? Why are some more inclined to be addicted to alcohol Why do some struggle with sexual desires that are outside of God's design for sex, whether it be heterosexual or homosexual desires? Of course, these are complex questions with answers that will include a number of different factors, but once all the layers of the onion are removed, at the center is the truth that sin coming into the world affected all of humanity and the entire human person, including our biology, our psyche, and our desires. Now, a final biblical observation I want to make is that the Bible teaches that disordered passions and desires are distinct from active sinning. Let me say that again. The Bible teaches that disordered passions and desires are distinct from active sinning. Okay, there is an undeniable biblical category for being tempted without sinning, or not sinning just because you are tempted. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says that even Jesus was, quote, tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, end quote. The reality that Jesus himself experienced temptation prevents us from concluding that experiencing temptation or having a desire is in and of itself sinful. Similarly, we could point to passages like James 1, 14, and 15 that distinguishes between experiencing desires outside of God's will and sinful actions. Okay, so when someone who struggles with alcoholism, for example, is grappling with the desire to get drunk, the struggle with that desire is not in itself sin. Sin occurs only if he or she acts upon that desire. Okay, so with all of these biblical observations in mind, it would seem that we are on solid biblical grounds when we draw the conclusion that experiencing same-sex attraction is not in itself an act of sinning. Therefore, not only can genuine born-again Christians experience same-sex attraction, there are in fact Christians who do, both in our church and many churches. Many of these dear brothers and sisters walk through this experience alone, uncertain whether or not it is a safe place to share their experience within the church. And this leads me to the second question that I want to address in this episode of Tensions, which is this: what encouragement would you have for Christians who do experience same-sex attraction? And I want to just offer three distinct encouragements for those that struggle with this experience. Number one, I want you to know that our identity is not what we desire or feel. Okay, our new identity in Christ is something that we will retain in God's kingdom throughout eternity. For example, we will always and forever be adopted children of God in Christ. Okay, there are a number of characteristics of our present existence in this life that, as we await our final redemption at the return of Christ, will actually be changed once we are in glory. Okay, this would include the desires and feelings that we have today that are not aligned with God's design. Okay, these are not temptations or desires that we're going to experience in heaven and therefore cannot rightly be assigned to the place of personal identity. Okay, what you desire, what you are attracted to, does not define who you are. The gospel of Jesus Christ defines who you are. That's a fundamental truth that we all need to cling to. And for that reason, I would actually discourage Christians who experience same-sex attraction from labeling themselves as a quote-unquote gay Christian. For one, this is a vague phrase that may be interpreted in a number of ways that are contrary to the way that you intend it. But even for those who use this phrase simply to mean that they are naturally attracted to members of the same sex, I fear this language reinforces the deception that this specific type of attraction, same-sex attraction, is a part of your personal identity, which is not true. In the words of one author, attraction is real, but too flimsy to build an identity on. Okay, you are a Christian. You are a child of God. You are redeemed. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. These are gospel truths, not your attractions that define your identity. Okay, you are a Christian who happens to experience in this life same-sex attraction, which would be an attraction that is outside of God's ultimate design and intent for human sexuality. A second encouragement that I would offer is that Jesus' redemption removes all our shame even when temptations of various kinds remain within us, okay? Those Christians who experience same-sex attraction that I have spoken with personally or authors that I have read consistently share their struggle with feelings of being or feeling ashamed of this experience. It's important to remember that every Christian struggles in different ways. Okay, becoming a child of God does not mean that the temptations of our flesh simply evaporate. To the contrary, right? The Christian life is a life of waging war against the sinful desires of the flesh, whatever those desires might be. The church is filled with people who are constantly battling with lust, anger, covetousness, gluttony, and a whole host of other temptations, right? As Romans 8:23 says, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. We're all groaning as we battle desires that are against God's will. And just like the death of an animal in Genesis 3 provided a covering for the shame that sin brought to Adam and Eve, Jesus' death provides a covering for the shame that we feel over the corrupting effects that sin has had on us. If you are in Christ, okay, God has given you Jesus' perfect righteousness, and he has poured out the full weight of his wrath against your sin onto Jesus. And so as a result, as Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? No condemnation means no condemnation. No matter how flawed we may feel, Christ sees us as his beautiful bride without spot or blemish. He loves us perfectly. Meaning, he cannot love us less on our worst days, and he cannot love us more on our best. His love is perfect. His love is steadfast because it is based on our inseparable union to his beloved Son. Okay, we are royal heirs with Christ, beloved children of God, a holy people for his own possession. There is no shame for those redeemed by Christ's blood, despite the reality of the residual effects of sin that remain. My final encouragement for those Christians who experience same-sex attraction would finally and simply be, do not journey alone. The thought of sharing this particular struggle with your brothers and sisters that you're close to in the church may feel terrifying. You might be asking questions like, well, how will they react? Is it going to ruin our friendship if I share this with them? Will I be, you know, shunned from my peer group? What rumors may be spread about me? Will I maybe even be kicked out of the church? Guys, our spiritual enemy often uses fear as a tool to keep us from actions and environments where spiritual encouragement and nurture are found. God never intended for Christians to walk alone in any aspect of the Christian life. We need our spiritual family. And when we do begin sharing our struggles with our church family, we often find that there are others who are struggling in the same way, but we're afraid of saying anything. Last thing I want to do in this episode of Tensions is address the question, how can a church help those who are experiencing same-sex attraction? So let me just offer a few words of encouragement to, you know, the average church member as we think about as a church family coming alongside and walking with those within our own body or maybe within your family or people that you know who experience same-sex attraction. And similarly, let me give you three words of encouragement. The first encouragement I would offer is this. Don't make assumptions. What type of assumptions am I talking about? Well, for one, don't assume that this isn't an issue for people in our church or in your community group, okay? We need to start by recognizing that same-sex attraction is a reality in the church, okay, both among the adults and among the youth within the church. This includes not only people who, you know, experience same-sex attraction themselves, but those who have children or family members who do. So we have to avoid the assumption that this issue is only out there, right, in the world, not in the church. It's in the church, and we have to acknowledge that. We also need to avoid assumptions regarding what causes same-sex attraction. Listen, it is neither fair nor loving to assume that every person affected by this has experienced either sexual abuse or has had an absent father in their past that caused them to have these experiences. Now, this may be the case in some instances, but certainly not in all. Nor should we assume that their same-sex attractions are like switches that they can choose to turn off and on. Of course, the decision to act upon that attraction is a personal choice, but experiencing that attraction is not. We can love our brothers and sisters who experience this by avoiding assumptions and instead listening. Listening to their experiences, listening to their struggles. My second word of encouragement would be for us to create a safe space for people to share this and other struggles that they may be facing. Here at MacArthur Boulevard, we call this our core value of extending gospel grace. We want to cultivate a culture within our groups and relationships in the church where people feel they can transparently share their sins, their struggles, their temptations, their fears, without the worry of expulsion or gossip. Okay, this doesn't mean that we minimize sin or become satisfied simply to wallow in our struggles. It simply means that we all honestly acknowledge the reality that we are all sinful, broken, weak people who need one another in our joint pursuit of Christ-likeness. You know, Tim Keller has said that the church should feel more like a waiting room for a doctor and less like a waiting room for a job interview. In the latter, for a job interview, everyone in the waiting room is trying to look as impressive as they can. But in the former, in the waiting room of a doctor's office, everybody understands that those are sick people, that we are all sick people, and we've come here in need of help. And this really is a much better description of what happens when Christians come together. You know, a very practical way we can create a safe place for people to share their experience with same-sex attraction is by being careful in how we talk about homosexuality, Of course, we define homosexuality as sin and outside of God's will and design for human sexuality. But unfortunately, Christians still speak about homosexuality in hurtful and pejorative ways, which includes using rude homosexual slurs or describing, for example, something you don't like as being gay. Guys, not only is this speech just unbecoming of a child of God, it actually communicates to those who struggle with same-sex attraction that this is not a safe place to share this struggle. Hey, we can be honest about sin. We can be honest and forthright about God's design for human sexuality without being rude, without being insensitive, without being hateful. My final word of encouragement is this: be ready to respond in love. If someone does open up to you about their struggle with same-sex attraction, you don't want to appear like a deer in the headlights. Recognize that sharing this experience with you takes incredible courage on their part, and they are sharing that experience with you because they believe that you are trustworthy. You can begin by thanking them for trusting you enough to share this part of their life with you and commend them for their courage and opening up. You can then look them in the eye and assure them of Jesus's love for them and remind them of who they are in Christ. Frankly, after that, the best thing you can do in that particular moment is listen, listen, and then listen some more. Okay, this is not a time for you to offer a deep theological discourse on biblical sexuality, nor is this a time for speculation or an examination of their doctrine. This is a time to listen and allow them to share their burden. You can ask questions like, when did you first know that you had these experiences? What has this experience been like? In what ways have you felt wounded as a result of this? After listening, you can pray and seek the Lord for appropriate words of wisdom, counsel, and compassion. Listen, praise God for His redemption and the power of the gospel that frees us both from the penalty and the power of sin. It is because of the gospel that we can talk openly and transparently about sensitive issues like same-sex attraction. It is God's perfect love that drives out all fear. Guys, let's not live by fear, but by the security that is ours in Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for listening to the Tensions Podcast. For a written copy of this episode or for more information on MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church, please visit our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org.